Oh, on that last great day, shall we turn to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 14, and I'll preface that by making a statement here from the article we referred to earlier, the Feasts of Yahweh, he calls it, from the Bible Study Association, 38:14, and some of the comments here, a clear prophecy of the house of the Hebrews being resurrected and placed in their own land. And they were given time to learn before completing their judgment in Ezekiel. We see their armies coming against the Hebrews. We see the armies of the world, the result of the Hasatan's Babylonian satanic influence. It must be about this time because it is speaking of those who have been brought back and now dwell safely in unfortified cities. So it's speaking of this time, of that last great day. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith Yahweh, in that day when my people of the Hebrews dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people, the Hebrews, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land. So he's speaking to Gog here. He's going to have these heathen come against my land, Yahweh's land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be set apart in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Gog is G-O-G. Thus saith Yahweh, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of the Hebrews, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of the Hebrews, saith Yahweh, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of the Hebrews, so that the fishes of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall, W-A-L-L, shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith Yahweh. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. This will I magnify myself and set myself apart, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Mesach and Tubal. Reading now in Ezekiel 39. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of the Hebrews. I will smite the bow of thy left hand, or bow rather, and cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of the Hebrews thus, thou and all thy bands. And now verse 7, for I will make my separate name known in the midst of my people, the Hebrews, and I will not let them pollute my pure name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, the separated one, the Kadosh one, in the chosen land. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith Yahweh, that it is the day I have spoken about. And they dwell in the cities, and go forth and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the hand staves and the spears. They shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that shall take no wood out of the field. And down to verse 12, 7 months shall the house of the Hebrews be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. They're going to bury Gog. And yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them renown, the day that I shall be magnified, saith Yahweh. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers. 17. Ezekiel 39:17. Thou son of man, thus saith Yahweh, speak unto every feathered fowl and every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves, come gather yourselves on every side to my offering that I do Zebok, that I do offer for you, even a great offering upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, goats, bullocks, all the fatlings of Bashan, and you shall eat fat till you be full. And I will set my esteem among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment, that I have executed in my hand, that I have laid upon them. 22. The house of the Hebrews shall know that I am Yahweh, their mighty one, the eternal, from that day and forward. The heathen shall know that the house of the Hebrews went into captivity for their iniquity, you know, for their law-breaking, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword, or they all fell by the sword, because of their transgressions. And so it is to this day, isn't it? 29. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of the Hebrews, saith Yahweh. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th... Oh, wait a minute. Now, I'm going into the next chapter here. Well, how about verse 2? In the visions of Yahweh brought me into the land of the Hebrews, and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, a man, whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, and a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. The man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thy heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them into show unto thee, art thou brought hither? Declare all that thou seest to the house of the Hebrews. So the description follows there. I think we're going to terminate the reading at this point of Ezekiel there at chapter 40, and then later on we're going to be picking it up around chapter 45. Not today, because the theme has to be around the theme of the last great day, following the Feast of Tabernacles. And hopefully this is coming at a timely point in your life, so that you're able to sit back from everything, from all the secular activities, and really plunge into Yahweh's, with your best, into Yahweh's set-apart feasts, into his fine appointments that he is, from the beginning of time, has created these feast days for us to enjoy and to learn and to hear about judgment. Revelation 20, the sea gave up the dead. So after raising of the dead, then we move on. It's not essential for salvation that we understand exactly the sequence of events in the book of the Revelation, only that we trust Yahweh, that we trust his word as being the final authority and absolute authority. You know, it's not some kind of a gray area. When he says something, it's not gray. And if we don't understand it, then we just look up somewhere else in the word, somewhere else in the scriptures about that same subject, and it'll bring about the harmony, the interpretation. The scripture interprets itself. It does appear, however, a group of incorrigible people will be raised during the final rebellion, mentioned in Revelation 20. Hebrews 10:26 says, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there therefore remains no more offering for sins, no more zebok for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. There we go. I don't want to be laughing at myself, embarrassed here. Which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Hebrews 10:28. Of how much sore punishment do you suppose shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the son of Yahweh and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was separated, who has counted it as an impure thing, and has done despite unto the spirit of favor. For we know him that had said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith Yahweh. And Yahweh shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living mighty one. So this is a time right now representative of when they will be destroyed, having rejected their chance, the one and only chance, to love Yahweh, you know, to keep his commandments. 1 John 5 means to love him. All they have to look forward to is condemnation and destruction. Hebrews 6, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the pure spirit and have tasted the good word of Yahweh and the powers of the world to come, that if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they impale to themselves the Son of Yahweh afresh, and put him to an open shame. Where did I get that word afresh? Maybe it was earlier. Hopefully I didn't add that in there. I was taking it from somewhere else in the Word, in the Scriptures here. Here we see why they must be destroyed, and there is only one opportunity given to each person, each one of the billions of us who were created by Yahweh here on this earth, to show our faithfulness to him, to show whether or not we would have enough love, enough allegiance, enough respect to follow and do it his way. Once having been given that opportunity with honest comprehension and proper time and trials, the results are final. 2 Thessalonians talks about the second death, the fire of the eternal. Paul shows that those who know the truth and reject it, not obeying it, will be destroyed with everlasting destruction. Yahweh's name will be magnified, and those who are obeying the truth, Yahweh's name is magnified when we love him and we show him respect and fear by obeying his word. And in Peter, in the book of 2 Peter 3:3, we're quite familiar with this passage if we've been around the block many years here. It talks about the end times. And there are those who are scoffing and saying, where's the promise of his coming? This is not the end of the world. It's not going to end in my lifetime. They scoff. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water, whereby the world then that was, being overflowed with water, perished. So Peter is referring back, by the power of the Spirit, he is referring back to the flood, Noah's flood. And instead of getting this out of some text, I want to go to my scriptures, because I am more familiar. So I have to take a moment here to turn the page to 2 Peter 3:7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, received unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That's 2 Peter 3:8. That one day is, it's equal to 1,000 years. And 1,000 years, as far as Yahweh considers and sees it, is equal to a day. It said that. And that Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise of that he's going to be coming back and all this judging, and that the end of the world, and he's going to be renewing the earth and giving us a new heaven and new earth. He's not slack concerning that promise, because, you know, you could go back to the apostles' time and they were thinking that that was going to be the end. And I don't think it was. As some men count slackness, but as long-suffering, Yahweh is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to being saved and going to heaven. No, that all should come to repentance. See 1 Timothy 2, 4 and Habakkuk 2:3. I want to start that the verse over again. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, that doesn't mean, you know, a thief quietly slipping into a house, removing the necklace of pearls quietly and then leaving quietly. I think it's going to be a noisy event, as we had read. You know, it would be noisy as Yahweh is destroying the earth. That'd be make quite a sound there, more than that Babylonian rock and roll and Babylonian Christian music. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, and Babylonian Jewish music, in the night in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what kind of people ought you to be in all pure conversation and goodliness and separated conversation? Being Hebrew-like, reading, not like, you know, not like being keeping Hanukkah and what's Purim or anything necessarily. I mean, you can keep it. That'd be wonderful, but more what Yahweh has commanded us to do and talk about. We're to talk about Him, talk about loving Him, keeping His commandments, and talking about the end, that the end is near. Encourage one another, you know, or encourage that if you're going to die, no biggie, because it's a piece of cake. Yahweh's going to come, and just like He you know, each year he causes the earth to be new and bud out, He's going to cause us, just like a little seed, to bud up and come back with a brand new magnified body, with a Yahweh-like body that cannot be destroyed. So death is no real harsh thing to dwell on and get all sad and gloomy about. What we hear on the radio during the Feast of Atonement, some of the radio stations are playing just sorrowful, mournful chanting, and you know, that's good to afflict our souls in one respect, and in the other respect, though, that it's Yahweh who died for us on the tree at Calvary. It's not we that we are mourning about ourselves and our predicament that we got ourselves into. It's that Yahweh died on the tree for our sins, for, you know, just one sin is all that it took to put Him on the tree at Calvary, to impale Him on that tree. And, you know, the scars and my mind isn't quite, you know, the scars and His blood and His water washing away all of mankind's sins, if for those who repent and believe on Him. And, you know, in a way it's sad, and in another way it's the most wonderful thing to, you know, to thank Him for what He has done to us. He's not only provided a way to have the enjoyment of eternity and all of His wonderful creations, but to have been forgiven of all of our past repented sins. So what do we sum up here, this second Peter here, about the new heavens and earth, that one day is as a thousand years, that Yahweh is not lazy or slow or obstinate, is not slack concerning His promise, but the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night with a great noise, and the elements, the earth, will melt. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be? Verse 12, looking for and hasting that the coming... See, we're supposed to be really intent and seeking aggressively the day of Yahweh, the day of Yahweh. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth. Oh, I can smell it, the upholstery already, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. It doesn't sound like shaking shaking it out to Christian rock and roll. I'm sorry, you know, clothesline preaching just is not appropriate at any time. Sometimes it's unavoidable, I know that. Some things are just unavoidable in living in society. Jude, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, Yahweh has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, will be destroyed with fire. Yahweh will fulfill his promises. He is just, patient, allowing time. He has mercy for us. He loves us. He doesn't want to see us lost. Of course, you're not going to be lost. If you love him, you know, you're automatically going to, what, you're automatically forgiven and will be saved? No, you're automatically are going to be seeking him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sodom and Gomorrah were examples of Yahweh's fire. There remains no trace of either city today, at least no trace that can be certified. There's some who say that they have found brimstone. We see that all the wicked will be burned up. They'll become ashes under the feet of the elect. 1 Corinthians 6, know you not that we shall judge messengers or angels? How much more things that pertain to this life we shall judge? Malachi 4, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day cometh shall burn them up, and Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of the armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. Malachi 4:3, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith Yahweh of the armies. In the final judgment, even the messengers are judged, and we will have part in that. It's ironic that we would judge those who are trying their very best to destroy us in this life, destroy those wicked messengers, or some say angels, 2 Peter 3. And then New Jerusalem. We think about the separated new city coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for the bridegroom. So Sodom and Gomorrah were examples of the cleansing fire. The messengers who have been held in restraint until then will also be judged by us. All that offends will be cast into outer darkness. And then we read in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. After the judgment, which shall burn up the wicked and purify the earth, the new Jerusalem will come to earth. It'll be the prominent location. Yahweh will comfort all who have suffered so that there will be no more sorrow. Ezekiel 43, and it was according to the appearance of the vision. Ezekiel 43:3, if you could read that as an assignment. Ezekiel 43:3. Isaiah 65, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that case, in that which I am creating. For behold, I create Jerusalem, rejoicing, and her people joyful. Or her people a joy. Revelation 21:5, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful, the Aleph and the Tav. He's creating new heavens, new earth, the place of his temple and dwelling place. It is being done over a period of time, the process having started long ago, and to be finished upon completion of the event this feast day, the last great day, pictures. The new Jerusalem to come to the purified earth as Yahweh's home. And we see its majesty in Revelation 21 and 22. About 22, how about, for example, could we please turn to, would you mind listening to, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Now we hear about Yahweh said, he is the living waters. Oh, excuse me a second. I have a duty here. One of these forest animals got into my material, and I don't want him destroying anything. Sorry there, bud. There he goes. I got to judge him. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there's the tree of life on either side of the river, there in verse 2. Where did we see that tree of life? We saw that in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Ah, thank you. That's our part. We shall serve him. Part of me is saying, well, I don't want to do that. Little I know. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle. He said, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. So, when he does come, it's going to be fast. Things are moving slowly sometimes. Christianity isn't getting any better. The head honcho cheese of Christianity today, Brian McLaren, made some really agnostic statements in his editorial there. Chief editor, I think he is, or chief of the paper or something. And I could not believe it. That's never been a real good magazine anyway, in my opinion. But good night. I can't believe the things that Christians are allowing these days. I mean, what does it take? How bad does it have to get to convince us that Yahweh wants us to repent and to know that he's coming quickly and to set our sights upon him and not on these worldly treasures around us? The worldly, that's not a treasure. My friend Hezekiah would certainly agree with me on that. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of the book. And then Revelation 22:11. 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which, I know of somebody close to me who would say, well, see, it takes all kinds of people. They're going to be there in the New Jerusalem. People who are unjust. No. How do we come up with this stuff? Well, I don't know. It's just the evidence is all here. There's enough to convict us in one verse of Scripture. So I don't understand why we have to have such a attitude of rebellion about Yahweh's word. Here it is. He tells us the word repent, and then we turn around and say, well, I'm a Baptist. I don't have to do that. My sins are all forgiven. They're under the blood. I've got a carte blanche here. Thank Yahweh that not all Baptists say that. There's some who are stronger than we are, stronger than Messianics, stronger than Hebraics, stronger than Orthodox Jews. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is Kodesh, let him be Kodesh still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they who are legalists and want to be under the law. Blessed are they that do his commandments, it says here, that they may have right to the tree of life. Now, we're not saved by keeping the commandments, but we are given rewards, he said here. So, we're going to confuse things and get them mixed up. Some may believe that they're saved by keeping commandments, but no one was ever saved by keeping the commandments. Not even Abraham. He was saved by faith. Hebrews 11. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Thank your radio preachers who say that the word was done away with, that you don't have to do it, tithing was done away with, that the law and so on, that's all done away with. They make a lie. So they're going to be without. I, Yahawahosha, says, have sent my messenger to testify unto you these things in the assemblies. not circuses, in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's the last great day. Take the water of life, Isaiah 55, the water of life. Come, Isaiah, okay, hang on, I got it right here. Ho, he that is thirsty, everyone that thirsteth, come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Yes, Yahweh is the bread, bread of life. And then he said in 18, For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of the book, if any man shall add, and then if any man takes away, there it is, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the separated city, and from the things which are written in this book. He that testify these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Hallel Yahweh, even so come Yahweh HaMashiach. The favor of Yahweh HaMashiach, Messiah, be with you all. Hallel Yahweh. That's the end of the book of the Revelation, chapter 22. Further description of the New Jerusalem and its majesty. Where it's given to us. Notice that the elect will have his name on their foreheads. They will be fully sons of Yahweh. The ancients knew that Yahweh had prepared for them this great city, New Jerusalem. They kept their eyes on that goal and endured. Messiah said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When all is complete, Yahweh will turn everything back to his Father. He will no longer need to act as our high priest, since we and all these yet to come will have been made immortal, sons of Yahweh, by his unmerited favor, by his resurrection power, by the blood of Messiah. Oh, we are given resurrection power. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood of Yahweh, HaYahweh. Well, we want to thank you for joining us and enjoying these 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day. And anytime if you have a question or comment, we invite you to go to our website, Yahweh Not Yahweh, and either hit the contact button or find a guest book. In 2010, I didn't have one up yet for a guest book, but that, for the most part, the material that you would put on a guest book goes public, I think, except for your email address or something. But all your comments go pretty well public to the entire world on there. But the email is personal, so anything that you give me, I'm not going to share personal information with you, with the email community out there, other than that I might take your name out and generically quote something that you would say about Yahweh, something uplifting and that would bring more righteousness, and judgment, and righteousness and peace to a hungry, lost world out there, a despicable world that we, butt our heads against the wall and we say, oh, there is no creator. And then we touch the nose on our head and say, how did that nose get there in the same spot? And every created being, down to a bug. How do the nose always wind up there? How do the mouth and the system, how do the food arrive here on this planet just at the right time for all to eat? Because Yahweh created it. He created it all for us, for our enjoyment, to be with him, to magnify him. The whole purpose of man is to magnify Yahweh and to lift him up in his name. So that does away with all of our selfish traits, with all of our intents of wanting to please the flesh. I got to have some entertainment, some movie. I've got to have another espresso. I've got to hear some Christian rock. And some of it might be nice, soft. I'm not saying that slow music is good, but I've got to have the obsession of unattainable possessions or material things or something out there. I've got to go to a sporting event. I've got to go down on the Sabbath. And no, don't do that, because Yahweh is first in our life. He is our treasure, and we are His jewels. We are His bride, and He is our bridegroom that we're looking forward to. So we're not going to go out and covet or desire, you know, another man's wife, or a wife desiring another man's wife or husband. You know, there won't be any more coveting for these products and material things in keeping of the feast days, and not keeping the pagan days, such as the winter solstice, Christmas. We are automatically getting out of the spirit of coveting once a year at Christmas time, and we're, as a result, I guess our checkbooks are blessed too. You don't have that $1,000 taken out there once a year to remunerate to others. We don't do that here for these feasts. I know some may do it, but we have never done that. And even though we want to be generous, we want to set aside a tenth of our income and a third tenth of our income for the poor. How does that read there in James 1? For the I'll have to look it up. For the orphan and the widow, I think it is 1:27. It's the last verse of James 1:27. Pure religion. So there's nothing wrong with religion if it's pure religion. See, the word religion is in the book of James. I know somebody wanted to tear out the book of James. Pure religion and undefiled before Yahweh and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Don't forget that, brother. So let's lift up Yahweh today, and may I lead a quick prayer, even though you probably know that this is being recorded ahead of time here for the feast, and in some cases under very unfeast-like, I can't think of the word, but you know, not being totally prepared for it. There's a lot going on, health issues and things like that, but under less than perfect conditions, shall I say. But during the feast, we want it to be perfect for you, and you know, this didn't cost you anything. We had to pay for the time and the website and all of that, the bandwidth and so on, and didn't ask you for a cent, except that, you know, knowing that Yahweh will come very, very soon, we'd like you to send in lots of money to build our new empire here, build all of these. No, we're not going to ask you for that either. But yes, if you do have tithes, by the way, and you're wondering, well, what do I do with it? Because I'm being disobedient if I do not give tithes to Yahweh. So what's the deal here? How are you going to tithe if you can't even trust someone with the money? Well, that's it. How about the Gideons? Try the Gideons.com, and they are an organization that probably 100 years have given scriptures to people around the world, and made sure that hotels and motels and hospitals and different institutions had a copy of the scriptures. So I was quite blessed the other day to be up there in the hospital with my wife, and here we were. I brought my scriptures, but she had one right by her bedside there. And I don't think it was a King James. It was a new King James, so it came out of sinful Egypt, but out of sin. But most of it was there. They only took out about the equivalent of 1st and 2nd Peter. And they even improved on some words, but they're not supposed to take away or add to the word. But the Gideons, try them. You'll find an organization, or perhaps you will be the organization. You will develop your own ministry or website or book or something that you'll publish someday when you're totally sure and mature, ready to be spreading the evangel, the word of Yahweh out there in cyberland, or wherever you can, to help other people where there's a need, where there's a hole or a gap where it is not being addressed yet, that is your area of ministry, perhaps. Perhaps it is. And so I say to you, especially the men, to get with a program and get the checkbook out there and make a generous check during the Feast of Tabernacles. This is one of the three times in the year when we do that. We bring a special offering to Yahweh, and we're not just going to unequivocally just give it out there to kindness to, you know, just anyone necessarily, but we're going to give it to where, first of all, where Yahweh would have us to give it. Now, I'm getting kind of tired here. I don't want to get into a long explanation, but Gideons.com might be a place to check. And in the meantime, let's have a quick word of prayer, if I could lead that. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we thank you for the opportunity to praise you, also to sit back and get refreshed, get replenished here by Yahweh's word, and by other brothers and sisters, hopefully, during the Feast of Tabernacles, during Sukkot here. And, you know, there's a lot of memories and all that, of course, that we'll look back on when we're gone from here. But we pray that you would carry these instructions and this incentive that you've given us, this great zeal for your word and of love and obedience, carry it throughout the year and into the next feast, especially to the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the beginning of the year. So let us just lift up separated hands unto Yahweh and praise him with our faces towards Yahweh, and perhaps towards that what we believe would be the new temple. And be obedient, wear the proper attire. We're not going to bring a bad image, a bad impression on you by even our attire. We are concerned about what's out in the clothesline there and what's on our bodies. And that if something is not on our bodies where it should be, then we better cover it up and not be thinking about all that, not causing someone else to stumble. I heard a pagan once say that. We don't want to cause somebody else to fall and to be tempted, so even they believed in covering themselves. Didn't want to go out on the beach scanty panty or anything. So Yahweh, just cause us to think scripturally and a Hebraic mindset. All of this here we've read in the book of the Revelation, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the Sermon on the Mount there, Matthew, and so on. As we swept through the word quickly during these feasts, and this has only been an hour and a half or 2 hours or so altogether at this time, but it just hasn't been enough. But, well, it is enough. Yahweh says that you said that we'd give you these 84 days per year, along with the 12, 13 new moons, the 52 Sabbaths, the feast days there, I think the 18 high and non-high days, and that's what the minimum you required from us. If we can give you all of our time, 365 days a year, then we will, but if you give us the opportunity. So just bless our little projects that might become big ones without our having to do anything. Bless those websites of many brethren and sistern out there, the folks who have donated a lot of their time and money and resources into putting the websites on to teach people. Some of them don't have the name right or the something about the law. They don't believe your law is absolute. They don't see it as being the word or seeing Messiah as being the word. Yet, you haven't shown them that, but in other areas, they're very, very clear in teaching, very clear in bringing out a lot of things that we wouldn't think of. We just thank you for all of that that is good, all the good scriptural things that you've allowed us to see through one another. Sometimes I'm worried that we're the blind leading the blind, you know, but we're selective enough, we are intelligent enough, we have enough spiritual power in us from your spirit at this time. We don't have it all, but we have enough spiritual power to help us to be discerning, and to protect us from error, from compromise, and from allowing our spirit to just be dampened or corrupted by someone else or some organization or personality or radio or Hollywood television preacher or somebody who's been watching that stuff. You've given us the power to resist HaSatan. We resist the devil, and he shall flee from us. All these false doctrines will just flee away. You'll just lead us into the truth. No more corruptness, customs, or corrupt scriptures. Just the pure milk of Yahweh. Thank you for blessing us today, and keep us, I'm sure you will, until that last great day. Hallelujah.